for, like, she does, like, some games. Yeah. She tends to get into games where you're, like, the farming game, where you, like, build...
Mobile gaming?
Yeah, simulator games. Like, what was it, Animal Crossing?
Where you're, like... Oh, Dobits in the Morning. I love that game.
She's really into that.
I love that game.
Our
so addictive.
We lost our data.
Oh, no!
After, like, we've had it, I started it, when did it come out? Like, 2-3 years ago?
The new one?
The new one for the 3DS. That was, like,
two, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And, the data's gone. It, like, it suddenly said, like, this data is not the same.
No, it got corrupted or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. But it's just, like, it's gone. Oh, and we actually had to call, we called, and she started playing, I think, like, last year.
Because you just lose all motivation to ever play it again, because you're like, why would I do all that again? You know, it's like, I don't know. Is this going to be in the podcast or not?
I don't know. I'm going to
games, because we can actually talk about that.
So okay.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
I played Dobits in the Morning, so we can talk about
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever talked about sim games before.
No, not really. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Not that much.
Because I love Sims as well.
Oh, the Sims or just Sims?
I like games? The Sims is my crack.
Oh,
all
God.
All sim games, all simulation games I love.
Yeah. Say, I'm afraid to get into one.
Mm-hmm,
like, I love SimCity. I love The Sims. Like, we're talking Animal Crossing.
I played Theme Park.
Yeah. Oh, as just like, Roller Coaster Tycoon, all those things.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I don't play them, but not for because I don't love them, because I just love them too much.
I quit The Sims 3 just before I started writing my graduate thesis, because I was like, these two things cannot coexist. Right, the writing of this 50,000 word thesis plus
burning people will have to wait.
having people. I was always pretty. Actually, my way of wrecking people's lives was more like choose the heartbreaker career path always, where you have to have like 10 concurrent friends or boyfriends, and then just sleep with everybody in the neighborhood, and then invite them all to a party and watch the hell break. I love doing that. Oh my god, now I want to play it again.
Oh god,
I need a gaming computer.
Did you know they can spontaneously combust?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently, I've only heard of one person who's ever encountered it.
They can just, because human beings can technically do that too.
Technically, yes.
Apparently.
Apparently.
I like
Sims
the realism of The Sims. I love that.
I can't get into The Sims 4, though, because apparently, too much has been cut off it.
Really?
They basically segmented it, and they're selling it in pieces. The transition from Sims 2 to Sims 3,
Yeah, it was totally different.
Yeah, and, but they slowly added back stuff that you had in Sims 2. Mm-hmm. Like, you start with bare-bones Sims 3, and then they add, expansions for, college life.
There were tons of expansion packs for that. I mean, actually, The Sims 2 had a ton of expansion packs, which I got quite a few of. Yeah.
I think I ended up getting expansion. I think I get full collection of Sims 1, 2, and almost all of 3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I
was bad, so I downloaded a crack. And, the unofficial. I had the original game, but then all the expansions were illegal downloads.
Bleep that. But,
yeah. But in which country? We don't know, so I'm not
sure. But. Yeah, so the Animal Crossing Dobutsu no Mori data. It's 2-3 years old.
Yeah, when did this happen? When did this tragedy happen?
This happened last week.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry for your. Yeah. Was it your data or her data?
Well, it started as mine, but I'd been playing it. I reviewed it, and then after a while, I put it down because another game had come along or something. Mm-hmm. And just that's another thing about Sims is when you put them down, it's really hard to get back.
Yeah,
into
it's one of those everyday things. Like you get up, you play, you do something else, you go to bed, you get up, you play.
And then when you break that, it's really hard to get back into.
God, you're making me want to play Animal Crossing again. This is so bad.
So I had a data that was about a year old that hadn't touched.
Yeah.
And
she just picked it up.
And she picked it. It's like, oh, you have this. And she started, and she, she made her own character and then, joined my village. And, she was doing it every day, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then for the past few months, I think she started around the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly last week, just like it said, the data you have is not the same data that you, the last data you saved.
Sounds like a corrupt file.
And we tried everything we could. We ended up calling Nintendo the hotline.
And they were like, what do you expect us to do kind of thing?
Well, they were like, yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there were those things. And but the thing is that, like, the guy who I talked with, the operator, the way he said it, I get the feeling that this is actually an issue.
Really?
Because the thing is, my version is not the cartridge version. It's the download version.
Oh.
Because the cartridge version sold like hotcakes and was gone everywhere when it was, first came out. And I wanted to play it and review it, but I couldn't, so I got the download version.
Right. So it's less stable, maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
Because, like, when you save to... With the cart... Even with the 3DS, you're saving to the cartridge, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. Like,
but the thing is that with Animal Crossing is that the data is specifically you made, like, the specific, the game is specifically designed so that you cannot back up the data. You cannot copy the save data.
Why is that?
It's to prevent hacking.
Oh, okay.
Because people will, like, take the save data and, you know, mess around with it and give themselves tons of money.
Of course, there's interactivity, right? With there, you can go to different people's villages and
things like that. There's also, like, there's download stuff, things like that. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of random factors, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's probably to prevent piracy and people hacking the data. So the data is... By default, you cannot back it up, so it's gone.
Mm. God, that sucks.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, she just got to the point where they're building a department store, and
I never got that far.
Yeah,
is that where you, like, you develop the village?
Yeah,
I only played the first.
Oh, yeah, you start out with a very shabby, you know, just few houses, few people, and very little, you know, in terms of stores and stuff like that,
right.
And by interacting and events and stuff like that, slowly the village develops,
right.
Where eventually you get, like, a department store,
right.
And all these other facilities that weren't there before, but yeah. All gone.
I played the first one, and there was really no progression. Like, it wasn't... Like, your village didn't develop. It was more your relationships with other characters and, like, the things you had in your house, but the village itself didn't grow, you know what I mean? It was just, like, more people moved in, but it was still, like, a little village. Because I played the original version, like, when I first came to Japan, like, 2004 or 5, whatever.
Oh, wait, what was this for? For the Wii?
For the DS.
Oh, right, that one, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Make it feel old.
I want to play it now. I mean, I have a DS and a PSP that I just haven't touched in, like, 3 years. So maybe I should.
My favorite series for those was Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon, I never played that.
But
I hear that was really addictive.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But anyways, this is the Wayward Podcast. Late intro as usual. And I'm Toshi.
I'm Kat.
Yes, we have Kat back. And we have...
I've been in ages, yeah.
Yeah, so what have you been doing in the meantime?
I just, like, traveling everywhere except Japan. So I've been in... I got back from Europe the other day. And before that, I was away for basically 3 or 4 weeks, just in different places. I just achieved American Airlines Gold status, because that's how much flying I've been doing. Which sounds impressive, but isn't really. It's the first tier of elite status, so I have 2 more tiers to go.
What are the perks of gold status? Because this is obviously something I've never had.
You get a free checked bag, you get priority check-in, you get priority seat selection, you get to use the lounge.
You get, like, free upgrade when they're available?
It said something like automatic priority for upgrades, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you put yourself on the upgrade list and you have enough miles, that you'll get priority for that. Like, and if they've got spare seats and they need to bump somebody into business or first, they'll bump you, kind of thing. But they'll bump the people who are, like, platinum and diamond platinum before you. So, you know, it just says, yeah, you've flown quite a bit, welcome. But American's the best airline for miles, pretty much. They're pretty generous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have obviously you're using American Airlines?
I'm using basically them or their partner airlines. Mm-hmm. So the thing about air miles is even if you're using... I mean, it doesn't always make sense to use your primary airline, right? So you should, even if you're going, if you're kind of strapped for cash and you're going for the cheapest flight, which most people my age do, you should be picking partner airlines. So don't fly SkyTeam and Star Alliance. Pick one and then pick a program and go with it. So I always use my American Airlines number. It's really annoying because I have miles in my BA account. I have a ton in my ANA account. So, you know, I just want to combine them all. I don't think you can do that.
Do you have... I always have to ask this. Have you had any nightmare experiences
flying?
Yeah, with American or...
Well, It's not usually like I don't know, the American airlines are all the same, like Delta, United, American. The service is not that good because the stewardesses or the steward, whatever, they're all unionized, so they're like sky hag, you know, they're like 45 and bitter as hell. They've been doing this for 20 years. But, and also because I used to fly NA all the time, the Japanese national carrier, so, you know, the service on there is impeccable, as you would expect. So, like, you fly Japanese airlines or even Korean airlines and then you move to an American one, it's kind of like a slap in the face. You're like, what? You're not treating me with, like, ultimate respect, even though I'm in economy? Really? the worst experience I had recently was flying back from the UK, so it's about 12 hours from London to Tokyo. And it was quite a small plane for some reason. It was BA, and it was flying into Haneda, which I think is the reason. I don't know. It was only 40 rows of seats, including business and first, which is really small.
Yeah.
And I did that thing.
Wait, that, small all the way from Europe to Japan? Yeah. Or, oh, wow.
I know, right? And there was no refueling stop right
now. That's about to say, like,
plane. It was, I can't remember. I don't know. I'm not up on airplane names, airplane models, but it was a... It wasn't one of the big passenger 777s or anything. It was like a little plane. Wow. And I was like, huh, this looks more like the planes that fly between European countries. You know,
like one step above has propellers.
I was like, can this maintain across the Atlantic? I'm nervous. But I did that thing of, on BA, they get you, check-in opens 24 hours before the flight. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing my family. I was running all over. I completely forgot. And I was like, shit, I didn't check in. And then, of course, I went to check in like a couple of hours before the flight, and I was like, are you serious? Because the only seat, the seat that I'd been assigned...
Oh, I saw this on Facebook, right?
The seat that I'd been assigned was extreme back row in the middle. There were three columns of seats, I should say.
Yeah.
The furthest back row in the very middle. Yeah.
So,
seats don't even recline.
Yeah, those.
I love how you commented, because I posted the graphic of the seat plan on Facebook, and I said, oh, this is going to be really fun. Like, and then Toshi commented, you can just lie across three seats. And I'm like, bro, if the three seats were empty, would I be this upset? No, because it looked like all the seats were free, but basically all the grade-in seats were taken.
That's the thing. I didn't realize that. I was just like...
You're like, the plane's empty. What are you talking about? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, if only. So not only that, but of course there's always a crying child on my flight.
Oh my God.
I don't think I've ever had a flight where there hasn't been. I've flown like 50 times in the last 4 years, I think. I don't know. Every time.
Wow.
I swear to God.
I don't think I've... Twice.
Mm.
Great. I've only encountered like the crying child twice.
Every time, I swear. And they're always within three rows of me.
Oh, wow.
I'm always like, oh my God. I mean... I understand, I don't have kids myself, so I talked to someone who had kids, and he was like, kids just break you. They break you to the point that you just don't give a fuck anymore. And you just do not care. And you're just like, I'm broken inside. I'm just going to just sit here and just let them scream because I can't do anything about it. And I'm like, I get that mentally, but... Please, why would you bring your under 2-year-old on a long haul flight?
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you wait until they're old
enough? Unless you're a refugee, you're just like...
Unless you've got really pressing obligations. It's people who take their really young children on vacation. I mean, I know people with kids deserve a vacation as well.
Yeah.
But it's like, why would you take them on a 13-hour flight? I mean, grown adults... can't deal with 13 hours in a box. I mean, a 2-year-old? I mean, of course they're going to be pissy and tired and not feeling well and all that.
Then there's the air pressure change makes ear pops and so...
Their ears pop and they don't know how to deal with it and it hurts and all that, and I feel sorry for them, but I'm also feeling sorry for me because I don't sleep, you know?
Yeah.
But I had that kid kicking my seat. I flew to Europe, so I flew into London on the way.
Oh, God, yeah.
And there was this family, and they... Oh, God, it's that thing where you keep encountering the same people over and over at the airport. So I saw them at the airport, and there was a mother and a father probably in their 40s, and then there were four kids under 10.
Oh, wow.
And I was like... Looking at the wife being like, you don't look like you've given birth to four children in the last 10 years. My God, I'm impressed. My hat's off to you. But I hope to God these people aren't on my flight. And of course they are. Not only that, they were in the row behind me. Like, all three kids were behind me. And this little girl, who was maybe 3 or 4, she was kicking my seat for, I swear to God, 2 or 3 hours. And it got to the point where I was like, I'm going to have to ask the steward to do something. I'm going to have to... So in the end, I was asleep and she kicked me so hard that I woke up, and I just had that kind of gut reaction before your manners kick in. I just turned around and just glared at the kid, and I was like, oh, fucking stop it, kind of thing. And I didn't say anything. I just looked at her. And then the mother looked at me. And then she switched seats with the kid.
Yeah, of course.
Thank God. I mean, I'm sorry, but you should have told your kid to stop kicking before that. It was so obvious.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I'm tapping into my stress of that time.
Where's my taser?
That's a bad flight. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I haven't done that much flying, but generally it's flying from the U.S. to Japan and Japan to U.S.
That's okay. West Coast is really short. It's only 10 hours.
It depends on whether you get on the jet stream or not. It can, and also, like...
The way back is longer.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And also, it's the... Sometimes the flight, you always change the
headwinds, depending.
It depends. Like if you're flying directly from Boston or from JFK or from Seattle.
But like to California, to San Francisco, Tokyo, San Francisco is probably the easiest flight.
Probably,
to
yeah.
The known world. It's like 9 hours there and 11 back. I think depending on winds.
Oh yeah, and you land in a fairly nice airport. So.
Yeah. And California, everyone's really nice.
Yep.
Californians, you know, like...
Sunny disposition,
sunny place. You're like, all right, this is nice, yeah. I had, like, four people talk to me I went to San Francisco for the first time, and I had, like, four or five people talk to me just passing the time of day, and I was like, this is nice, wow. Just coming from Tokyo, where everyone's a total shut-in, you know, like, having people actually make conversation with me, that was nice. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to everybody.
The best flight I ever had was when I rode business from JFK.
Of course. It's kind of a given, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, like, I
dare you to have a bad time.
Well, that's the thing. That was, I think, maybe one of the best experiences I've ever had, period. But it was just, like, because I was flying economy to Japan, and the airline called me and just, like... We're overbooked. Would you be willing for extra miles or business? So I'm just like...
Yes, that's the best. What, they were willing to, like, what, they were going to bump you off a flight and give you air miles or something?
They're either miles or business class on a different flight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Dude.
So, yeah.
That happened to me one time, like, getting upgraded, and it was on... It was on ANA. Oh my God! It was the greatest. It was the greatest 12 hours of my life.
And it's just like you don't want it to end,
yeah.
And you can't go back.
No,
it's just
can't
like
go back to once you.
Yeah, once you've tasted the real good stuff, it's just like.
The thing is, like the people in business, and it goes double for first. Like the people in business aren't paying for themselves. Obviously, their company's picking up the tab. So, what pisses me off is when you walk through business and there's like a family with tiny kids, and this tiny kid has an entire business seat to itself. And I'm just like, how is that fair? I'll trade you, kid.
You don't need that.
You know what true love, true friendship is? I was dating this guy and he was in business. We were on the same flight and he was in business and I was in economy because his company was picking up the flight conference. And he was like, I want to sit with you. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And he's like, yeah, I want to sit with you. So I'm going to pick someone at random. I'm going to ask the person next to you if they want to sit in business. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to be like the greatest thing ever. It wasn't that long a flight. It was like 4 or 5 hours, but still. And he comes back and he's like, to the guy next to me, he's like, hey man, that's my girlfriend and I'd really like to sit there. And do you want a business ticket? Do you want to sit in my business seat? And the guy's like, okay, like he was like, there must be a catch.
Yeah,
like, no, I just want to sit with my girlfriend. And the guy's like, you must really love your girlfriend. And he's like, yeah, well, we haven't seen each other in a while, so.
Oh man, business class. If you get the option, always take it.
Well, obviously, yeah. Getting bumped for no reason as well, like. When they're like, you know, when they call you, that happened to me, but they said it to me at the airport. And in Japan, they're like, Moshiaki Ozaimasen, we're so sorry, but the flight is overbooked. And I was like, oh God, this means I'm going to be sitting in Heathrow for 12 hours. Yeah. And they were like, we're going to have to unfortunately move you to business. And I was like, how is that? Why did you set that up like a bad thing, bro? You made me so nervous. Because this woman was Japanese, and she was speaking Japanese to me, because I sort of went up and said, like, konnichiwa, kind of thing. And I was like, why did you say that in Japanese? The thing is, in Japanese, if you set it up with all this apology at the beginning, you're like, you've been set up for something bad.
Yeah.
And you're standing there going, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to fly for, like, because there's, like, two directs out of Heathrow to Japan a day, and I was like, I'm going to have to wait here for 9 hours. And then she was like, yo, we want to upgrade you to business. Is that acceptable? I was like, are you serious? Yes, of course.
Well, technically. technically, it's an inconvenience.
It's technically. Because I was
you're not going to be able to sit in the seat you originally got.
I was so committed to 30J. Yeah. And I got like 4F. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I decided to make it my plan for the next year to really make use of this Air Miles thing, because I'm done with economy. I'm so done. I travel a lot, and I'm like, no. So I'm going to start doing the whole, like, because in America, you get a lot of flexibility for, like, challenging for miles, or, like, buying products that give you a ton of air miles, or, like, staying at hotels that give you a ton of air miles that you don't actually have to fly the miles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in Japan, that's, like, unheard of, so... So, all my NA miles, I don't want to use those. I can't use them. The Japanese airlines are super stingy. They don't let you use them.
Yeah.
So I tried to book a flight to Thailand once with air miles, and they were like, okay, you have enough air miles. It's off peak. I picked, like, out of the 2 days they allowed me, and this was 2 months in advance.
No comment.
Did you guess? That was so weird.
That was the weirdest thing.
Siri just talked to me. Do you think she... Oh, she heard me say Siri. She read that as what I was saying. No comment. Thanks, Siri. And for some reason, my Siri is the New Zealand female voice. I don't know why.
Oh, that was weird.
Thanks, Siri, you weirdo.
Special guest Siri.
Thanks for that. Anyway, yeah, so I tried to book this flight, and they were like, okay, well, you've picked the flight, there's seats available. We'll let you know 24 hours in advance if you can get on the flight with your I mean, this was a vacation that I was planning 2 months in advance. I was like, hell no, I want to just pay for the flight.
Yeah, it's just like, well, it's like, you've been a loyal customer, you've been building up these miles, and then they give you the shit seats.
They and they don't even let, the thing is, they don't even let you use the miles without, I mean, because unless you're just like some kind of super spur of the moment person who doesn't mind not knowing if they're going on vacation until the day before. I mean, I have an ANA linked credit card, so every time I use my credit card, I get air miles, and these are just building up, and I need to know what to do with them.
Can you use them? You can use miles for shopping.
You can, and I think I'm just going to do that for Japan. I just blew my own cover. Leaving Japan.
Well, eventually everybody does.
So you're so fatalistic. I don't know. Apart from the ones who don't. Right?
Yeah.
Everyone does except for the ones who don't. There's a deep thought for you.
Yeah. Although I've had friends been here for a decade who literally have my times now. So.
Decade is, don't say that. Oh my god, that's me. Holy shit. I don't regret it though. I mean, it was like good experiences. I made this, I've decided to leave Japan as of we're recording.
At some point in the future.
We're recording early November right now, so probably I'll be leaving in the next month and a half or something like that, but before the end of the year. I just decided that. I think anyone who's heard me talk about Japan on this podcast, I have extremely conflicting opinions about it, and it's like, I just decided that it's no longer offering me what I need out of my place that I live in. And also, a lot of my close friends have left in the last few months, so that's really affected my life as well.
Sarah, Tony,
Yeah, exactly, and just moving out of that sweet living situation I was in, it's another thing. Bunch of developments in my personal life and just my career as well. I just kind of feel like I can't go anywhere else with it while I'm here. It's just kind of more of the same, and I want to achieve something. So
I think Japan is, I forget where I read this, but somebody basically said Japan is a great place for outcasts. People who are, like people who are generally not in the in crowd. Like, geeks.
I'm not that person anymore.
It's like you eventually grow up and become secure. Like, because you're growing up as a geek or an outsider, you're basically, everybody's looking at you funny.
Yeah.
But in Japan, they have a reason for it.
Right.
A foreigner. Right. And it's like you're actually comfortable with it.
Yeah, and they don't, they can't really tell. It's a really good point, because they can't really tell a weird foreigner apart from a not weird foreigner.
Yeah.
Or like a weird / well-adjusted, socially adjusted. Yeah.
Informed.
I made this in depth. I was just saying to Toshi that I'm operating on like 2 hours sleep right now. My sleeping pattern is totally ruined. So sorry if I'm a little bit like monotonal at points, because I'm just so tired. But like, I posted this thing on Facebook. I thought about a ton of stuff, and I talked to a few people in depth about it. And I was like, right, if I don't make this decision, if I don't book this flight and just go, I'm never going to do it because I'm in this comfortable kind of existence where I know Tokyo so well. I mean, I've lived here 10 years. I've never lived anywhere else as an adult. Mm-hmm. And so it's like comfort zone, right? Yeah. I mean, it's weird to say that because people look at it as a super exciting place, but it's like someone who's lived in London or New York for their whole life. It's like, it's a hard city to live in, but once you know it, it's actually really comfortable. And you find your little groove and everything, but I just was like, if I don't just step out and off the cliff, as it were, I'm never going to do it. And I'm going to wake up in 5 years being like, what did I just do? That was, I should have left then. And, you know, I'm closer to 30 than 20 at this point. So I'm like, right, need to get out. Before I turn 30.
Says, I'm past 30 now. But anyways.
Because we both don't look it, so that's fine. Yeah.
But anyways, sort of changing gears here. Yeah. So what I've been doing
over the past... Sorry, I've just been talking about
me. No.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't been here in a while, so wanted to catch up. But I went... Yesterday and the day before, actually, I went to Osaka, which is the western part of Japan.
I love Osaka.
Yes. Kansai. And went to the Universal Studios Japan there. So they
did
have...
Did you go on the Shark or the Jaws ride? Do they still have that?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's
I've seen pictures. I've never...
Okay, so... this is actually to celebrate my year and a half anniversary with my girlfriend.
So, year and a half anniversary.
So we planned for 2 days, spend the night, like go there first day, you know, enjoy sort of like light tastes of Universal Studios, then go to the hotel, spend the night at a hotel, then
this
next
is so
day.
Organized, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like we had a game plan.
Did you have a spreadsheet?
We didn't go that far, but we did have like we had stuff written down, like the plan. Okay, because so, we wanted a solid idea of what we were gonna do.
Yeah, I love planning. I think it's great. I mean, and the best way to do it is to be like, we're gonna go do this, but if the plan changes, then we're not gonna freak out about it. You know, you should have a plan, but not be like married to the plan,
you know? A backup sort of contingency. Yeah,
absolutely, because you don't want to be wasting your time.
No, and the thing is that USJ, Universal Studios Japan, has a reputation for very long wait times.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Disney, I don't know how long ago they implemented, but they have the Fast Pass system.
Yeah, where you can basically works pretty well.
Do you know how old that is? Like when they implemented?
I have no idea because I am not a Disney person.
Last time I visited Disney, they didn't have that. And then
they didn't?
The last time before I went when they had it. That doesn't make sense at all. But
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but like
at least 5 years.
Like yeah. So like my memories were from Disney before that, and then when I went, it's like, what is this fast? Don't under white. So I get a ticket and
yeah, I didn't know what it was either.
But I still have to line up.
By the time I worked out, they were all gone. I was okay.
but it's a really good system.
Mm-hmm, it works really well. Yeah.
And Universal Studios has something somewhat similar to that. It's called the Express Pass, which is basically for Harry Potter, which was brand new. They opened the Harry Potter Wizarding World of Harry Potter they opened that last year in Japan, and so that one there is a time restriction. Like you can only get in at you have to go in at this time, and then you can get on the main ride, which is Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. You can get that on this time, but there are also some other loopholes because generally, like my editor, I mentioned this to Kat, but my editor went once and he went there. They opened their doors at like. Their schedule is they open at 9, but sometimes they get a little loose, like they open it early. They never open it late.
I was just saying to Toshi, that's so un-Japanese to like, and people, I bet people are complaining, like, how are we supposed to know? They don't open at 9 on
the
dot.
No, they open at 9:30, that's it. But yeah, my editor, he went there at 9, and they'd opened at like 8:30.
Wow.
Yeah, and
this is like kind of, I was just saying to Toshi just now before we started recording, I was like, that's so Kansai to be so loose like that. Tokyo would never stand for that.
Tokyo is the really anal retentive.
The second hand ticks to 9 and they open. Yeah. That's what Disney's like here.
But in Kansai, they're much more loose. I think honestly, my impression of Kansai is it's far more Western. Like, I mean, yeah, it is physically West Japan, but it's it's got sort of their attitude is much
they're way more laid back down there. I always wished I'd lived in Osaka as opposed to Tokyo for a few years because like I love the people there, they're so fun. I think they're actually pretty nationalistic. It's weird because they've got this weird combination of like they're much more open. They're much more, like, humorous. They take things less seriously than Tokyo people, but they're also really nationalistic, like, about Japan. Like, they love Japan. They are so Japanese, but in a different way.
I think most of the comedians, most of the major comedians come from
Japan. They do, absolutely.
Japan, so. But also another thing I noticed, going off topic, but the train station. I don't know if this is all the train stations, but the train station, the Shin Osaka and Osaka station, which I went to get there, is a lot more spacious. Like, I'm trying to find a good way to describe this, but like the ceiling is open.
Yeah,
like you can. I mean, there's a ceiling.
It's very
but, like,
light.
It's very much it, like.
Yeah, the
ceiling is a lot higher. Yeah. Is the simplest way I can say to describe it.
I think buildings are lower there in general because obviously, if you think about Tokyo Station in Tokyo, there's so many layers of that place. I hate Tokyo Station. Oh my god!
But like, but like with Tokyo Station, even when you're above ground, you feel like you're underground.
Dark.
Yeah, it's dark. You know,
it's surrounded by massive buildings.
Yeah, but like it was felt very spacious and open in Osaka Station. But but. Going back to USJ, my editor, he went there, he found out they'd opened it early. He'd gotten there at like 9, they'd already opened, and there was already like a 4-hour wait for Harry Potter.
Oh my god, and all the fast passes were gone, or whatever they're called?
They're called express passes, and you have to buy them in advance.
That's bullshit, you have to pay for it?
Yep. That is one thing that gives USJ a bad rap. Yeah. Also, I had been under depression, like, because I'd heard a lot of horror stories of people who had bad experiences. A lot of them of people, people from Tokyo who didn't really get the sort of Osaka, the Kansai attitude, and like they sort of clashed with it, and so they had bad experiences and things like that. So I kind of gotten this experience, like this impression that USJ was kind of like a second grade, a lesser Disneyland, Tokyo Disneyland, but that was not my experience.
It's a totally different experience.
It was, honestly, I think I may have had more fun at USJ.
You don't surprise me, I hate Disney.
Because last time I went to Disney, I had a lot of fun, but USJ, it was great. And the thing is that, we rode most of the major rides at least twice.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much queuing did you do?
Very little. Like, at the most, it was like a 45-minute wait for one. But we sort of figured, one, we got there early, and we have one of those apps that, like, you know, you can see the way they...
Oh, man, you guys are so prepared.
They constantly update, so, like, this one's got, like, a little line.
Cool, there's an app. That's awesome.
Yeah, and my girlfriend did research beforehand, just, like, what times are good to go, like, when there's a show going on, it's a good, like, you want to go to the attractions when the show going on, because people go to those. You don't want to eat at the restaurants around
12
lunchtime.
One.
Yeah, you don't want to eat at specifically, you want to, like, you know, shift things a little bit. And so, yeah, the first day, we went. What did we ride? We rode the roller coaster, the Harry Potter roller coaster. Flight of the Hippogriff. It's not one of those. It's not your like loop the loop huge major. But I mean, it's like a mid to low scale roller coaster. Yeah. But it was still a lot of fun.
It's more about I assume it's more about the sort of stage setting.
Yeah, a lot of the Harry Potter is about the experience,
the
environment.
Fun. I am so, you know, I was just saying to Tosha just before we started recording that I've always wanted to go to Universal Studios, but because I'm moving to the States, I'm just going to go to the original one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's one thing the original probably has more for someone like you and me is that the USJ, it's all dubbed.
Oh, I hate
everything
that.
Everything is dubbed. You just have to. But that was another thing. I went to, Back to the Future ride.
Yeah.
Which I later learned from Richard is the last Back to the Future ride in existence. Like,
why?
The other USJ, I don't know how many USJs there are. Universal Studios there are, but They don't have it anymore.
How come? Back to the Future is perennial.
I think it's a Simpsons ride now or something. They changed it. Because, yeah, it is. They built that thing in, 1991, originally.
So it's getting dated.
Yeah, it's getting really, when you're in line, they have, promotional videos, playing. Those are all, they're on, old TVs. old 10-ton TVs.
Oh,
like
that's so cute.
Vacuum tube TVs. Mm-hmm. It's just oh, wow. And, you can see, some of the images have been, burned onto the screen, so you can see a shadow of them.
Wow, that is retro.
Yeah. And it is very retro in a lot of ways, but it still holds up, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and considering, 2015 was, 30th anniversary mm-hmm, for it, mm-hmm. It's just, that's a shame that there aren't really more of them.
Absolutely.
And, of course, it's dubbed. Everything's dubbed.
Yeah.
But, I was just realizing, they can't recreate this anymore because, first of all, the guy who plays Biff, I forget what his name is, he's young. It's they made this in 91 and they feel so you've got a 1991
20 something years ago.
Yeah. It's just so he's young. It's just mm-hmm. And Christopher Lloyd's also a lot younger.
is Christopher Lloyd not dead now?
No,
he's
still
alive.
Yeah, he actually he did a little special video for the 30th anniversary.
Oh, he did?
Because the 2015 October was the 21st.
Right. Yes.
Was the date that
it was
Back to the Future 2 happened? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he did video for that. But they have it dubbed, mm. And I realized both for the guy who dubbed Dumbledore, mm-hmm. the Japanese voice actor who dubbed Dumbledore, and the voice actor who dubbed Doc Brown, they're both dead.
They're both dead?
Yeah. Oh. I was like, they can't recreate this. Yeah, they both passed away, so I was just
What's Harry's voice like in Japanese? Is it a plucky,
it's a lot
shonen type voice?
It's a lot, I would say, thicker.
Is it a woman's voice?
No.
It's a guy.
It's a guy, yeah.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But it feels a lot more adult than Harry is.
It's deeper?
Yeah.
I always think that I've never heard a Japanese dub of a Western movie or whatever, and I wrote my actual graduate thesis on this topic to some degree, so I've never heard a dub that does it. I've never heard a dub that doesn't sound like a soap opera, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the best one, I mentioned this on a previous podcast, was Pacific Rim, because that's what they used, they very specifically used Japanese voice actors who were big in anime and anime voice actors who would draw crowds simply by their name alone for mm-hmm. something about giant robots fighting mm-hmm. monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that aside from that, no.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that was, it's a little jarring, mm. but otherwise the whole experience was amazing.
That's just so cool.
And so
I want to buy the merchandise.
Gotta want. But for the second day, actually, for USJ, because we were staying at affiliated hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a ticket that lets you get in early,
cool.
The doors open at 9:30, but they'll let you in at 9.
You got half an hour,
right? So the first thing that happens is when the doors open, everyone makes a beeline straight for.
I hate that when everyone runs. You're just I don't want to run.
But it's just I don't want to run.
But I'm on vacation.
But
I want to ride. So you went to the Harry Potter ride again.
Yeah. So we went to the Harry Potter ride, Forbidden Journey. You got on that very first thing. And then we came out. And just there's not much of a line had formed. Just my girlfriend's want to ride it again?
Yeah.
So it went in again.
What is it called? Forbidden?
Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey.
What's that like?
It's,
Is that a roller coaster? Or?
It's semi, it's, I don't, it's, I don't know how, if there's a, it's, I don't know how, if there's a specific term for it, but it's actually a lot like the Back to the Future ride or the Spider-Man ride, mm-hmm. where you're in a sort of a vehicle.
Also, a VR type thing.
Yeah, but you're moving around, but they'll have stuff on screens, and you're wearing 3D glasses.
Right. So a VR ride. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it might be it's a small world where you're on a moving track. track, and there's
track, obviously, yeah. But it's a lot more exciting than that.
No, obviously. No.
But
I mean, It's a Small World is what everybody goes on when everything else is too, the line is too long.
But it is, I don't know if it's worth describing to people who have probably, you know, to a Western audience who probably already knows about it, but I mean, it is, they do a good mix of the VR and the actual stuff, actual, like, gimmicks that are moving around, stuff like that.
Awesome.
And also, like, the line, like, lining up and walking through the castle itself is a bit of an experience itself. Yeah. So.
Oh, that sounds so cool. I'd love to go. It's on my bucket list. I'm definitely going, but I think I'll go to the American one because I don't like the dub.
But, so I ended up riding Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey 4 times.
Yes! Get it. That's, like, hardcore fan right there. Did you hear that there's a stage play coming out of...
Yes. It's supposed to come after... A book 7, I think. It's like,
there's a new book coming in.
Yeah, well, no, it's not a new book. It's specifically, it's a play. It's a sequel to the. It's a sequel to Harry Potter.
It's a prequel, is it not?
No, it's a sequel.
It's a sequel. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I believe it's a sequel.
I wish it was a prequel. I always wanted to read a prequel that featured, you know, Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot.
Yeah.
That would be
I wanted something that, like, yeah, I mean, specifically something that is not Harry Potter centric, like, yes. Not, it doesn't have to be James and Lily. I mean, they can maybe show up as peripheral for a bit, but I'd like to read something about more of the other thing, because it's such a rich world.
It is, and that's why I liked Azkaban so much, the book, because it had all that backstory in it, and I'm always a sucker for prequel stuff. So I was actually just reading a critique of the Harry Potter books, where it says that she really, the first couple of books are more like a children's fantasy, which very well done, but then by the third book she started really building the world, and
I can see that very much so,
but then of course there's all this, I'm on Twitter, and there's all this like snarky stuff about like Harry Potter and the bottomless pit of money and stuff like that, and they're like, but I mean, she doesn't really need any money at this point.
No, I believe she gives most of it away.
Charity
and things like that. So, I mean, she's carved out what she needs.
Yeah. I read her adult novels, actually. They're very good.
Oh, really? I haven't had a chance to, so. But
they're very, the one, I think she's only released one.
I think so, yeah.
What's it called again? The Casual Vacancy, that's it. It was very good. It was quite brutal, actually.
What is it about?
It's about a small, it's like a satire of a small town in England. Like rural southern England, where a member of the village council dies, and then a casual vacancy is when someone serving on the parish council dies, and then you have to replace that person.
Okay.
That's what a casual vacancy is called. And it's more like, it's quite biting, actually. It's like this satire of life in small town England.
Is it a single contained, just single story?
It's in typical Rowling fashion, there's quite a large cast of characters, so you get different viewpoints. But if you know anything about Middle England and about small town mentality, particularly in Southern England, then it's very on point. Like, you're just like, this looks like hell on earth. It's a really black comedy, put it that way.
I don't know if it's gotten any exposure in Japan at all.
I don't even know if there's a Japanese translation. I'm assuming there must be.
It's J.K. Rowling, so
right,
it should,
so.
But you'd think, yeah, but I've not heard anything. I don't think I've heard anybody who's in Japan who's read it.
Mm-mm. So. It's called Kajiwaru Vacancy.
Well, they probably have some kind of political terminology for that.
Yeah, I think Japan would have, like, a political terminology for that, but yeah.
Oh, okay, but, so I ended up, what did I ride?
The Harry Potter thing.
The Harry Potter, well, the thing is that, like, we had, what I said, one of those express passes, but we got in there early, so it's like, let's save the express pass for later, and just, you know, first thing, beeline, go, ride it once. We came out, it's like, not much of a line, so let's ride it again, and then we rode Flight of the Hippogriff, and then, you know, we'll use our express pass later. And the thing is that when we used the express pass and got in, you know, get to...
You can skip the line, is that the...
Most of the line, yeah, you get to skip most of the line, and...
You can choose any ride you want, but you can use it once,
The thing with the express pass is it's designated, there are there's like a seven rides, and there's a 5-ride one, and there's a, like a 3-ride
one. How much are they?
It varies. Okay. It varies. They're not more than, like, I think at most they're about like 8,000 yen or
That's
something.
That's a lot. On but, top yeah. of the ticket price? Wow.
And a lot of it is gouging. Like,
I was just going to say.
Yeah, a lot of, well, I think it's also partly like supply and demand because Disney is so prevalent and you know they're not it and USJ doesn't get as much exposure so that obviously there's less people going and then less
and
coming
it's
in
the west not in Tokyo so smaller population center and all that
but yeah
I'm glad you had a good time those times
well as I was saying like the third time we rode it because we used our express pass it broke down and, but that's the thing it's like when it breaks down they let you ride it again they let you cut
twice,
to the front line. And the thing is that it broke down like when the thing was like I'd say like 90% done.
Oh,
like right, like it ends where like you come back to the castle.
Yeah.
And like we were coming back to the castle and then it stopped. It's just like
oh, that's awesome.
There's like okay, there's like literally I'd say like maybe 10 seconds left of stuff. And so it's just like they and they're saying like you know something's happened to the ride and you know we
ride it again.
And so yeah, got to ride it again. So I rode it 4 times.
That's so cool.
I think towards the end I was just like. Woozy because like I'd close my eyes and I'd feel like I'm still on the ride sort of thing.
That's too much Harry Potter right
yeah
there.
Well I think it's I can't from my experience because what did we ride Back to the Future we rode Spider-Man rode Harry Potter all those are like that VR sort of you know you're in something but there's stuff on the screen 3D I found my experience from my experience is that the sort of you know how because they're tricking your brain with visuals and like rocking the vehicle around back and forth and like sort of simulating that you're like falling or you're jumping I'm getting you know tossed around things like that because it's not really happening it's only semi sort of happening but it's trying to trick you with the visual that sort of gap
it
gets to me like
I think there's a name for that I'm, like, your brain is trying to compensate for that with the motion
that illusion and so I normally don't get motion sickness but basically by my fourth time with everybody I was just like I need a moment
because your girlfriend is younger than you right so she's let's go again you're no
well by the fourth time the line was like I think it was like 3 hours long so
I don't think there's anything worth waiting that long for. Yeah. It's like when I see queues outside restaurants in Tokyo, I'm just like, it can't be that good, right? The trade-off between you just wasted your entire Saturday versus this food you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Come on. Come back on, like, I don't know, if you want to eat there that bad, take a day off work and come back on a Wednesday or something, you know?
But I mean, my experience as a whole, like, just like, even, because... I mean, Jaws has been around since one. That's what it's like. These are a lot of these are very dated. A lot of these rides are very old. They've been around for a very long
time. But they're well maintained.
They're well maintained, and like even the Waterworld show that they have, I mean, like and things like that. Like we checked out, like they still hold up. Yeah. That's like, oh, there's a reason they still have these.
Yeah,
these are a lot of these are. I mean,
these are classics.
Yeah, I mean the Jurassic Park one was. Oh my god, that was so much fun.
Oh my god, I still haven't seen the new Jurassic Park movie.
Oh, Jurassic World.
So much I need to catch up on.
Oh, Jurassic World. It's a lot of fun.
So, yeah, I remember you talking
very
about
very stupid.
I don't care. Fun is fun. I love Jurassic Park.
I mean, and they're in the middle of building something. I want to go off a tangent on this. They're in the middle of building a new ride. Which is one of those. It's a roller coaster, but it's one of those where you hang down.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, and they're in the middle of building it. It's something where like the setting is like you're being carried by one of those pterodons.
Oh, okay.
And
that's a cool concept.
And it's got it's got stuff where it like twists completely around like while you're rolling.
So it's like Fuji-Q then.
It's just like
extreme roller coaster.
And they're in the middle of building it, so a lot of it's incomplete. Like they have rails, and then it just ends.
Ooh,
Yeah, and so that reminded.
Just looking at it, you're just like, nope.
Yeah, that reminded me of a anecdote of I think it was Roller Coaster Tycoon or something. It's like, I think you've heard of it.
Yes.
Like where you're
supposed. I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, it's the one where like you're supposed to get your. your park's popularity up a certain level, and you're supposed to beat a rival park that's next door. So they build a roller coaster where it basically would send people flying into the other.
And they would technically die in the rival park. And then, of course, their approval rating would plunge, and yours would go up.
Yeah, and yours would be the most exciting
thing. The Simpsons where he's like, default, default, default. The two sweetest words of the English language, default. Yeah, we were just talking about sim games, actually, but
yeah.
I'm going to start playing The Sims again.
Oh, yeah.
I was just telling Toshi that I'm going to go back, I'm going to go to America and, you know, change up my career, you know, look for a new, maybe a new opportunity. But if I start playing simulation games, I don't think I can do both of those things.
No, it's just like, no, my character is doing all right. He's rich.
Weird. Like, meanwhile, I mean, I'm just sitting there, haven't eaten. Well, when I used to play The Sims, it was weird because most people, I think, when they game a lot, they put on weight. But I would lose weight because I wouldn't eat because I'd forget.
Wow.
I'd like sit there for like 12 hours and I'd be so engrossed that I'd forget to eat. I'd be like, oh yeah, which is great. I'm just like, oh great, I remember playing games.
I remember the first time I played the first Sims. I got it for the Mac.
Yeah.
Because I had a Mac back then.
Did
and it, yeah. It was one of like the, it's a G4.
Early
like
adopter.
It was. It came out in the like 90s. And yeah. So I got it for the Mac, the Sims, and first time I played it, I was like on the computer. It's like, where'd the sun go?
Exactly. Oh, it's dark already? What? I mean, I remember my parents, like, the game I did that with was Final Fantasy VII, which is, you know, classic.
Oh, yeah.
My parents were like, go outside, it's summer. I was like, no, no. And they're like, my mom threatened to turn the power off. She had her thumb over the switch. And I was like, Mom, if you do that, I will never speak to you again. She's like, okay, but save the game right now. And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand. I have to get to a save crystal. And she's like, I don't know what that means, but get out of there. Okay, but I need to see, don't turn the damn power off or I'll kill you. I was like, fuck you, Mom, no! Man. Oh, speaking of, you were talking about your Doubles in the Morning, the Animal Crossing data getting deleted. The worst thing I ever did to my younger brother was, yeah, this is so awful, I still feel bad about it, and it was 15 years ago or more.
Oh,
no,
God.
Wait, how old am I? I'm 20, I'm not going to say, 20-something. Like 17 years ago, right?
1998, okay.
Something like that. 20-something, okay. And I still feel bad about it. And it's like the one thing, my brother and I are pretty close, but it's like one thing I just can't bring up because he's still mad.
What did you do?
Okay, so he played, we both had separate saves on, you know, we had the old memory card, the physical memory card that you'd put into the PlayStation 1, and and I was cleaning it up because we didn't have enough space for all of our games.
Yeah.
And he had the save on Final Fantasy VII where he basically, like, mastered everything. Like, he'd put in, you know, the timer used to stop at 100 hours.
Yeah, so 99 hours.
Or like 400 hours or something of play in that game. He played it for, like, 2 years and he just, like, did everything in the game, mastered every single materia. Just did everything you could possibly achieve in the game. He did the chocobo breeding, he got the black chocobo and all the gold chocobo and all that stuff, which is so frustrating to do. And then, you know where this is going. I was cleaning the memory card and I went over the save and I meant to just like skip past that and I pressed the circle button by accident and I fucking deleted it. Oh god, I'm just remembering that moment. Oh my god, I'm still traumatized. This was one of like the defining traumatizing moments of my life.
Yeah.
I remember every instant of that. And then he was at it with his friends or something and I was just sitting there going, oh my god, oh my god, he's going to actually murder me, what am I going to do? And I decided just to come clean and I was like, Andrew, I did something really bad. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I will give you money to say sorry for this. And I was like, I deleted your save. And he wouldn't talk to me for like 4 days.
Oh god.
You know, and
well, considering the time invested.
Dude, like, you can't punish me more than I punish myself, right? You telling me that? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm telling you, I still feel guilty now and I'm like a grown woman.
Yeah. Oh wow.
That was so bad. It's like the worst thing I ever did to him, pretty much. And it was by accident, which is even worse.
Yeah, that's
terrible.
Yeah, I'm scared of losing like a lot of my save data and stuff like that. So actually, but one of the things is that the PlayStation 3 allows you to back up data.
Oh, that's good. Finally.
Yeah. So like, well, I mean, at least you can back it up to like a USB or something like that. So like, I have multiple copies of a lot of my
something
very old.
Something important. Yeah. I feel like that with my photos. Like, I love taking pictures and I have a lot of photos that I need to back them up.
Yeah.
In multiple places, because the sad thing is when your external hard drive dies and you're like,
oh,
that was my backup, thanks.
Yeah.
Because I'm the person with the iPhone that isn't backed up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm actually without a computer right now because my desktop is already, I got sent to America.
Oh, right.
My MacBook Pro just bit the dust.
Oh.
I know. I mean, I have a time machine backup somewhere, but it was like, it just wouldn't turn on anymore. And I took it into Apple and they were like, it was quite old. It was like 4 or 5 years old at that point. And I took it into Apple and they were like, yeah, the logic board's gone. And the repair's going to be like, yo, man, 40,000 yen. And I was like, yeah, may as well get a new one, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the old MacBook Pros are so heavy. So they get an error, I think. Yeah. So sad right now, don't have a computer, just like my little Chromebook. You know, if anyone has one of those, you know, it's like a super light, basically an internet machine. It's like really light and tiny, good for travel, but you can't do anything on it. It's all app based, it's Google app based. So yeah. But yeah, it's a sad story.
Anyway. But actually, we've been going not in full hour, but yeah, about so. So I think this is a good time to cut off.
I feel like we didn't actually talk about anything. We just passed the time of day.
Yeah, well, we're catching up.
Hopefully, it was entertaining.
Hopefully. But for an outro song. Oh, fuck, I didn't think of one.
Yeah, sorry. You still was like, do you want to pick one? And I was like, I haven't listened to Japanese music in forever. Can I just say, I moved into this, I'm sharing this apartment with my friend right now after I moved out of that house I was living in before. We don't have Wi-Fi. Yeah. And I feel like I'm living in 1992. I can't download anything. I'm now that person that every time I find Wi-Fi, I'm like connecting and updating all my apps. It's so satisfying. I'm just like, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pick something at random and put it at the end of this. So this is the way we're popping. You know, at some point, I really should just like record a bumper, just like an end bumper that says like all the information.
Because then you have to say it every single time.
Yeah.
Bro, are you like new to this or something?
Kind of, but anyways. Okay. But anyways, yeah, this is the Wayward Podcast, oneofus.net, blah blah blah. Yeah, I'm Toshi.
I'm Kat.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
うれしくて、うれしくて。